still. Welcome, 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 welcome. I am half of Speak Volumes. My name is Dominique. It's been a while since you heard from me. But here recently, I've had a major situation happen in my life to where I was a part of a jury here in my town. I reside in Greenwood, South Carolina. This may take a while, okay? So this right here is just strictly my opinion, how I feel about things. This is nobody else's opinion, nobody else's feedback. This is strictly me. This is my opinion. I'm welcome to any feedback, any open conversations you want to have. Feel free to reach out to me, okay? I'm on all platforms, social media, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, all of that. I'll definitely be posting my handles. A lot of you know me. I'm gonna just tell you a little bit about myself for those who don't know me. I'm a young African-American male. I live here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Been in Greenwood for going on 20 years. I have two small children. And I like to see myself as, I'm not perfect, but I like to live, you know, on the right side of the law, as you say. I'm active in the community. I coach basketball, football, take part in what I can, help, volunteer, donate, whatever the case may be. But it's just a lot going on in today's society that I see. And in today's society, I mean, here in Greenwood as well, I see a lot of things going on with, from the communities to the, school systems, to the police, to, you know, just things going on, you know, amongst ourselves that, you know, we need to bridge the gap and, come between and bridge that gap and come together. So this is just a little bit of what I experienced, what I went through, and also my opinion about some things. I've been quiet about a very lot. I don't speak a lot on topics around Greenwood, you know, because people tend to judge you. So this here, again, it's not for everybody. You know, I will have an open conversation with anyone who wants to sit down and have open, civilized conversation. I'm not with the stupidity, the ignorance. Keep all of that for you and yours, with how you live. I'm open to have a sit-down conversation with anyone who wants to have a civilized conversation. So let me dive right in. Take a sip. So, my young people, this is to you, first and foremost. Please, please, please stay out the streets. If you were in the streets, find a way to get out, okay? The streets mean nothing to you. They have nothing in it for you. The streets are either going to leave you dead or in jail, okay? I've said that for a very long time. I preach that to my kids and any kid I touch while I'm coaching in their presence. Any kid I see that comes in my presence, I try to speak positivity. I try to show them the positive sides of life. We have examples, not a lot of them, but we have a few examples that they can look up to. Okay? Get out of the streets. Do not get involved in the streets. The streets are not your friends. The streets is not for you, okay? There are different ways to make a living, an honest living, Okay? Stop using your environment and making excuses. There are ways out. We have living proof who have done it. Okay? Get out of the streets. Your friends, family. I'm going to say your family because your friend's not going to be there. I'm going to explain that to you later. Okay? You have one or two friends, but your friends are not going to be there. Your family's was going to be there. Your mother, your father, your grandmother, your brothers, your sister, your auntie, your uncle. That's who's going to be there for you. If they are there for you, if you haven't burned that bridge already. Okay? Listen to me and listen to me clearly. The streets are not the answer. And I mean that with everything in my heart right now. I've seen it close and afar. The streets are nothing. All this gang stuff that I want to use other words, but I'm going to keep it clean. All this gang stuff you throwing up and representing means absolutely nothing in the real world. You're living in a trap and you glorify that. It's not where you want to be. It's a trap. Then you turn into a rat. And guess what? That's not where you want to be. I promise you. I promise you. I know people who've been in jail, who've done time. And you can't get time back. That's one thing in life you can never get back. Time. Especially if you have children. Be there for your children. Think about the bigger cause. It's not about you once you have children. Think about them and their future, okay? The streets is not the answer. I don't care what side of town you live on. I don't care what color you wear. That means nothing. When you're dead in that courtroom, or in that jail cell, in that 8x10 room, you got to look at the wall all day. I promise you. If you don't believe me, ask me. I will get you in contact with people who have done the hard time. Hell, who've done the little time and don't ever want to go back. But you got some that continue to make the same mistakes because they got stuff to prove to their quote-unquote friends, their quote-unquote their brothers, quote-unquote their sis. That's sister, for those who don't know. Leave the tough guy image alone. It does you no good. I sound repetitive, but you end up dead or in jail. And I mean that, okay? That's just a quick insight for the ones who still lost out there, okay? Ask for help. Reach out to the positive people. There are a lot of good things going on in Greenwood, okay? Reach out. Swallow your pride. You have a lot of people to reach out to. A lot of different avenues. You just got to step out of that comfort zone and take what you have that's given to you. Tons of opportunities out here. All right? So now, let me get to The real reason why I'm doing this particular podcast, okay? Back on July of 2018, some gentlemen decided to make some poor decisions. Don't know who it was. Don't know the situation. I wasn't there. Can't speak on what I don't know, okay? Only thing I was told, the Greenwood Mall had shots fired. Greenwood Mall was on lockdown, okay? Left it at that. After the quote-unquote investigation, they came up with six young black men to put in a situation, okay? Charged these young men with attempted murder and a few other charges. I don't remember the specifics, but the main one is attempted murder. They were looking at 45 years a piece. So, time goes on. I receive a piece of paper from the Greenwood County Sheriff's Department. I've been summoned for jury duty. Fine, no problem. I've done jury duty before. No big deal. I'm thinking it's the same thing. So I get to jury duty to that point, November 19th. It's 200 people in there. I'm in the big boy court, the big boy courthouse. Upstairs, anybody know Greenwood, South Carolina courthouse? You know. I'm in a big courthouse. Never stepped foot in there before. I've been to the small one, first floor, back rooms, you know, but I've never been to that. I've seen it on the paper, you know, might have seen clippings, whatever, whatever. But I've never stepped foot in that courtroom until that day. That day, that was the beginning of a life-changing experience I've had, me personally. So, this is the jury selection for the specific incident I spoke of in July, the mall shooting, okay? So going through this process, you know, they ask you questions, you get up, say your name, you know, speak on your place of work, your marital status in their place of work, and then they just pick you. You know, they go through the whole process. Again, I've never been through this process before on a major scale like this. So I go through this process, and that's it's 2.5 days, you know, they went through. So, you know, the last last day and a half, you know, you actually get to go up there and speak to the defense lawyers, the solicitor, and the judge himself. You know, they ask you some questions, and they determine who they're going to pick from there. Long story short, I made the jury. I was an alternate, but I made the jury. So on that Wednesday, opening arguments begin. The opening arguments begin with Mr. Stumble and his assistant, okay? They open up with a very vague opening statement, I felt, to me. Again, let me reiterate this. This is strictly how I felt. This is no one else speaking but Dominique. No one else, okay? This is me. This is only me. So, they ask you to complete a puzzle, okay? Without all the pieces, and use your common sense, okay? So now, that lets me know, just using, again, like they say, use your common sense, that let me know you don't have anything to put these boys under, but you want us to speculate. Keep that word in mind, speculate. So they basically want you to just have an imagination and put these boys away for 45 years with your imagination, with speculation, with assumptions. Okay. So, you know, start off the trial. They bring in the dispatcher. And me not understanding, you know, I don't understand the court system, don't understand the legal system, don't understand all that good stuff. No, I don't. Not a lawyer. But it's definitely not what you see on, you know, SVU, NCIS, all those type of shows. They give you the small pieces. All of the witnesses that get up there in that stand are not telling you definite finger-pointing, groundbreaking evidence or tell you groundbreaking information, okay? They go through this long process asking the same questions over and around about different ways, asking pointless questions we already know the answer to, but they still keep asking. It gets a little redundant. So let me get back to the first witness. They bring up the dispatcher, dispatch manager, supervisor, whatever have you, and she gets up there just to tell us that they receive 80 plus calls. Okay. I'm a dispatcher myself. I mean, I may not take as many as 911, but I can take anywhere from 800 to 1,000 calls every 2 weeks. That's your job. And I understand for that particular day, yes, it got crazy, it got busy, it happens. I understand that. It's part of the job, what you signed up for. Okay? After she gives us no information, they bring up, I think it was a retired officer, Mr. Hugh Butler. I may have the order wrong. I know it was Officer Bailey and Hugh. Might have been the other way around. It's these two coming up. So Officer Butler gets up there. He's responding from a call, XYZ. Basically, you know, given, you know, we watch his body cam. He tells us, you know, what bits and pieces they want us to know that have been recited with the solicitor's office previously. Now, let me explain to you how I see this. Every witness that was called up to that stand, everything was rehearsed. Everything was rehearsed so you can say what they want you to say. And throughout the proceeding, if they didn't answer what they wanted to say, they quickly cut them off or reroute the question or help them lead them into answering it, which was mentioned a couple times. So going back to Mr. Butler, he's given basically his breakdown of when he first arrived. You know, he took command, XYZ, pointing people in the right direction, blocking from evidence, telling who to take notes from, who to get information from, who saw what, you know, basically, you know, taking charge of the scene. So then, you know, of course, they go over here, how many years he'd been with the police department, you know, all that good stuff, you know, making him sound good, you know, making him make sure he sounds credible. And then after him, Officer Bailey Thompson comes up. It starts to get interesting. Mr. Thompson was a little, what's the word I can use? He was a little, I don't want to say nonchalant, but he was a little careless with the evidence. He wasn't exactly telling the whole truth, which kind of, from the beginning, puts a black eye on Greenwood Police Department, okay? Because you see so much negativity, you see so much killings and beatings and all negativity about police department. And of course, you know, I don't have any bad dealings with Greenwood Police Department. I've never been in trouble. Speeding tickets, most I've ever done. I'm not from the streets, not raised in the streets. I don't know anything about the streets, okay? But I've made that conscious decision to stay out the streets. But that's not here nor there. But with Mr. Bailey, you know, some of the things he was saying throughout his testimony was not accurate. You know, and the defense lawyers did a hell of a job getting that information. And, you know, taking the information that he's given and finding the loopholes, which goes back to Greenwood Police Department not doing the job correctly, which puts a black eye on this entire case. Not just Officer Thompson. This goes further on to their star witness, the leading investigator, Officer Lieutenant Dixon, which comes later on. It makes it look like the Greenwood County Police Department is incompetent, man, at the end of the day. Because sitting in that jury room, after when we had so many breaks, which I'll get to that shortly, so many breaks, so many this, that, when we're speaking, when we're leaving, when we're getting dismissed, we're talking, walking in the hallway. You cannot pin these boys with anything if you have no proof. And the cops are showing how careless they are when they're playing with someone's life for 40 plus years. You're playing with details that can make or break someone's life. You pulled a young man out of his second day of his senior year of high school. That man should be getting ready to try on a cap and gown, not an orange jumpsuit. He should be getting fitted for a class ring, not an ankle monitor. Okay? Follow me when I tell you this now. Some of you may or may not know this, but yes, one of the defendants they tried to put in a situation, they tried to charge, second day of his senior year. Yes, sir. But back to the witnesses. So, you know, Officer Thompson comes up there. He gives his story, you know, and like I said, they start picking apart his story, picking apart his story, picking apart his story. Lawyers did a hell of a job doing that, ladies and gentlemen. The lawyers did a hell of a job. They were worth every single penny that these young men had to pay, which they shouldn't be in the first place. But that's water under the bridge. But the lawyers were worth every single penny. My favorite too, Gioli, Senator Allen. My hat's off to you guys. But again, Mr. Thompson had too many loopholes in his story. So then, you know, the case goes on, and again, we get through those last 2.5 days. We get there Monday. Unfortunate situation. One of the defendant's mother passes. Same week of Thanksgiving. We're out for that entire week. My condolences to you, Mr. Freeman. Now, let's proceed on to the following week. We had to come in that Monday. We came in that Monday. And, you know what? I take that back. I think we had, how can I forget Officer Wes Walker? The smartass. I guess that was supposed to be known, quote unquote, because they stressed he was a Marine. And I guess, you know, you're not going to shake a Marine easily, by far. That's probably one of the stronger branches of our military. And they're definitely going to be some smartasses. Excuse my language. But Mr. Walker was on there. You know, they looked at his body camera. You know, all that good stuff, went through his story as well. Found holes, all of that good stuff. But let me get to this one point, right? There was a specific person. They had these six boys on trial for this attempted murder charge. But the person that they were supposedly shooting at and attempting to kill, they can never, ever, 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 ever find him. They found him one time. And that was it. This has been 15, 16 months ago. Why can you not find this man? Okay. It just blows my mind. Blows my mind. They could not find this gentleman and bring him in to testify. And like I said, as the trial goes on, he starts looking guiltier and guiltier and guiltier and guiltier and guiltier and guiltier. But he's nowhere to be found, of course, because he know he had some wrong in that situation. That's just my opinion. Just my thoughts. Just my thoughts. So get up there, Mr. Walker. He's being a smartass. And again, you know, things get a little testy between one of the defendants' lawyer, I think it was Senator Allen, and Mr. Walker. You know, they were butting heads pretty good. You know, you can definitely feel the tension in the courtroom then. Got a little testy. Things got a little testy with Officer Thompson, but nothing too crazy. But it, you know, started to heat up with Walker, with him giving, you know, just broad answers, just just being coached very well by the solicitor's office on what to and what not to answer. And of course, solicitor says, oh yeah, please answer any questions they may have, you know, give that whole spiel, but we know the truth. They're not there to help out the defendant's case at all. We know that for sure. We know what side they're on, 100%. But again, none of these witnesses that they call to the stand, they cannot prove anything. They cannot say who had the gun. They cannot say who fired the gun. They cannot prove anything. They just can prove that they saw some fellas run towards a particular portion of the mall. And people flinch, and that's it. They never show who shot a gun. Which, if they had who shot the gun, that puzzle piece they were speaking of in open arguments, that's a little different. You can't argue with facts. But I'm going to revisit this word called speculation. Can't speculate who had a gun, who shot a gun. I can go by facts. And they had no facts. Everything was speculations and assumptions. Everything was speculation and assumptions. From the beginning, everything was speculation and assumptions. This shouldn't even went to trial. Shouldn't even went to trial, honestly. That's my opinion. Again, I don't know the law. This is just me using common sense. Just common sense. Nothing more, nothing less. So like I said, we take the break. And at this point, I'm going to take a break, get my thoughts together, and I'll be right back with you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. So let's go back. We just came back from our break, Thanksgiving break, bereavement break. And first person to the stand, is a store manager from Foot Locker here in Greenwood. They brought her up, brought her camera footage also from her store that they provided, which they gathered some of, you know, through their investigation the first day and also, you know, receiving it later on, getting permission from the district manager, going through all the legalities and all that good stuff, getting submitted to the Greenwood Police Department. So they bring her in there. And of course, they ask her questions and, you know, all that good stuff, asking her, you know, stuff they coached her on. You know, she's answering. Really sweet lady. And they ask her a particular question, which kind of raised my eyebrows. Two questions, actually. One of the defendants worked there previously with her. Well, she hired, actually. After this situation, she hired him back, right? So that raised some eyebrows of the jurors. You know, I saw their faces. Like, you know, why would you hire him back? Because we know the kid had nothing to do with it. That's why she hired him back. And then when she hurt, the thing about it is, she didn't even know what he's being charged with. So who's really doing their job? She don't know the charges that are being sought after for her employee. Her face was shocked when she heard the charges. Like, what? Like, that's not him. She was confused. Like all of us were. So then, you know, again, this witness cannot provide any information to confirm who had a gun, who shot a gun. Let me say that again. I'll say this all podcast long. They did not have any witness that got up there on the stand who had any hard, concrete evidence of who shot a gun, who shot at a gun, who shot a gun, who was shot at, none of that. Everything was pure speculation. All because you see a gentleman running the other way and you see four guys running and two walking. Okay? two guys walking. Two walking. So when you first see this footage and you're thinking logically, why is one person not going to shoot at six people he feels is coming after him, threatening his life? Why are six people going to shoot at one and one not shoot at the other, not shoot at the six? Right? Right or wrong? Common sense. One on six, I got a pistol. I got to do what I do. I got to do what I got to do to protect my life. I'm licensed to carry. I could defend myself. But six shooting at one makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. But that's not here nor there. Again, strictly my opinion. Back to the facts. So again, you know, they show footage video of two individuals having a conversation. One backs up. Come later to find out, after all the charges were dropped, that there was a specific comment, made by the person I was being shot at, saying that he told her that they were trying to get him, but for some reason that wasn't able to be used in the courtroom during the trial process. I don't know the specifics. Don't know how, you know, like, again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just going by what I read. And I don't know if I trust Index Journal Greenwood today, but that's what I read. You know, like I said, I still don't know if that would have made a difference, because only thing they show was him walking out. And again, later on, you show this gentleman reaching in his right pocket, holding something. It's a pretty big bulge, which no one ever wanted to confirm what was in his pocket. We don't know. Again, goes back to speculation, but his pocket was bulging out pretty big, and it wasn't his wallet or wasn't his phone. And he's reaching in his pocket, walking out of the store with his shoes in the right, left hand. Again, I'm not making any assumptions. I don't want to speculate. But you see where I'm going. I'll let you use your imagination in filling in that puzzle piece. How about that? So let's get back to it. Again, she answers all the questions. And I'm going to say this again. Nothing concrete. Nothing she can say that's going to lock in that, you know, they did something or someone who had a gun. She can never say. Again, nothing was ever said. Okay. So then this goes on, you know. Then we bring in the lead big dog, the lead investigator. Okay. The lead investigator, Mr. Mike Dixon. He comes to the stand. He was on the stand for, I think it was like 2 days. It was crazy. Sitting there and listening to his testimony, you know, getting an idea of how they think on that side with the blue stripe being the police, how they think, how they go about gathering evidence and all that good stuff. Just seeing how it works is pretty awesome. You know, you watch First 48, you watch NCIS, SV, you watch all that good stuff, but seeing it firsthand, how it works and the lack of work that they did too. And, let's just go over this really quickly too. So he gets up there, you know, does his job. He did a job. I'm not gonna say did his job. He did a job. And that's no knock. You know, I understand where he's coming from. A lot of the times, you know, some of the things don't always work out in their favor. But you know, I feel like you still got to try. Because again, every time we're in that jury room, everyone was on the same accord. There's no way we can convict these boys without, you know, like everyone was just on the same page. They have nothing. They have nothing. Was the consensus throughout the room? They have nothing. Nothing. Like nothing. And that's after every witness got up to that stand and swore on the Bible. They had nothing every single time. But again, we still have to sit there and listen to it. That's our civil duty. But yeah, after Dixon got up there and, you know, had his chance listening to the solicitor and, you know, going over what they went over, he was, mind you, he sat there every day of the trial. So he sat there taking notes, writing. I'm not gonna say he took notes, that's speculation. Let me stop. He was writing. I noticed. And one thing I did, I'm gonna jump off topic real quick. I noticed a lot of these lawyers' tendencies. A lot. I just sit there and watch them. You know, I just sat there and watched them. When they make a point, when they feel like they have a solid argument, they'll look a certain way. You know, they'll look at like Gioli. Exactly. He'll look in the jury, stare everybody in the face. Mr. Allen, he'd look, had a smirk on his face, walk away. You know, they'll have hand gestures. Stumbo, I'll have his tongue to the left side of his mouth. I paid close attention to him because it was just something to see. You know, somebody of so high regard. You read articles with his name. You've seen him on videos. You've seen him speak. You know, first time in the same room with him, you know, you just look at him and you see some of the things he do. His assistant, I don't know the man, never met him. He comes off as a arrogant college kid. I mean, I'm sure he's a grown man, has whatever degrees. He just comes off arrogant. The way he, you know, looked at people, like he was just belittling people when he looked at them, laughing at the lawyers when they got up there, making points, which some of those points seem very, very, very elementary, but they made sense. They made sense. They laughed, they chuckled, you know, they whatever, but it made sense. And of course, once they realize it, oh, I object. You don't need to object. Why object? Because it's hurting your argument? Because it's making sense? It's going against what you're trying to prove? You can't do that. It's just something you cannot go against the facts, not speculation. You just can't go against speculation. You just can't do it. You can't do it. Can't speculate. Can't assume anything. He was giving you facts. What they said. Witnesses had, you know, tons of different colors, tons of different things. Eyewitnesses couldn't give you nothing. Couldn't give you nothing. I missed the witness. Miss Johnson. I'm all over the place, but Miss Johnson couldn't give you nothing. She was a witness in Route 21 with her daughter. Gave her whole spiel. Again, the view they gave, mannequins and all that stuff, she couldn't tell you nothing. She was a waste of time. Those defense lawyers did a hell of a job. How could she see? She looking at the cash register. She ain't facing out the door. She saw what she saw, but guess what? She identified the goddamn person that they said was innocent. The person that was running. Why was he running? Again, I don't want to speculate. Well, let me get back to Major Dixon. Excuse me, Lieutenant Dixon. Excuse me. At the end of the day, man, you know, when it came down to it, long and short, Officer Dixon left a lot of gaps open. Whether he could do it or not, he left a lot of loopholes for these defense attorneys. And it's tough. You got six on one and a half, two. It's going to be tough. I take a six. Everyone had help. You know, they're sitting over there with, you know, a lawyer and one, plus one. You might say that's 12 on two. You know, you got your defense, your investigators. But Stumbo, you know, I felt like he was at a real disadvantage. Six to 12 heads are always better than two or three. Nothing you could do about that. Numbers are against you. But back to the case. So Mr. Dixon, you know, giving his side, what happened, and you know, telling what happened and putting the piecing the videos together. Everyone trying to piece the videos together the same time. What they see, we all saw the same video. I kid you not, we saw the video and the footage and the pictures at least 20 to 30 times, if not more. The same videos, just different angles, different, trying to lock up the times, all that good stuff. We know what happened. We saw it. It's like they're trying to beat a dead horse. And, you know, it's trying to, they're trying to pull something out, you know, trying to make something appear that's not really there. And I, again, they want us to speculate. Nothing was solid, concrete. They gave us nothing to stand on. To even consider putting these boys away for 45 years. 45 years is a long time. 45 years is a very long time. To give these boys 45 years off speculation and assumption, couldn't be done. Could not be done. Could not be done. Mm-mm. Just couldn't see it happening. But again, I keep jumping back to Officer Dixon. Officer Dixon, you know, did not. He did send the shells off to SLED. Did not request DNA. Why not, Officer Dixon? Were you afraid the DNA may be against what you were thinking, against your theory? Why not? You're worried about construction and the hole down by Belk. So what? Whoever you would have got to do it, they have a cleanup crew. The mall has a cleanup crew. You can hire a cleanup crew. You got the state on your side. You got bukus of money. You didn't look for the bullet up in Michael's wall. Why? You can take the time. You can do your job. Come on, baby. You gotta prove it. It's your job to prove that they're guilty. And you didn't do a good job at that. I hate to say that. Again, strictly all my opinions. Just my opinions. Just my opinion. Because I was there. I sat in. I witnessed it. I watched it. I listened. It just wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. Was not enough. And Mr. Dixon, you know, everything was, I believe so. Just say yes or no. Everything you believe, you don't remember. All of the witnesses don't remember anything until you put that sound bite or that video in their face. And then once they get, once they see it or hear it, if that's what the video says, like they're playing this game, tap dancing like Gregory Hines, and it's not necessary. We all just heard you say it. That goes back to Mr. Wes Bailey. They never, ever confirmed anything. It was always, if that's what you hear, if that's what the video says, that's what it is. Just say yes or no. Things will go a lot smoother, man. And that's one thing when the defense came up, they were definitely tap dancing like Gregory Hines, man. They were on the ropes. They knew they had nothing. They knew they had nothing. Really, honestly, gut feeling, it really wouldn't surprise me if some of those breaks didn't come from, you know, in boxing terms, the defense just pounding them. In basketball terms, they're making their run. They're making one of those famous Golden State runs. And the state was reeling. So guess what they got to do? They got to take their time out. They got to burn the time out. Hoping for the bell to ring for the end of the round. They were reeling. Once they got themselves together, they tried to attack from a different angle. But it still was not enough. Not enough. So then we go on. After Mr. Dixon and, you know, he go back and forth. Like I said, this went on for 2 days. And then they bring in one of the SLED officers. Once they bring in a SLED officer, she tells us the same thing. No fingerprints, just the bullets were fired from the same gun. There were three silver, one gold. someone was trying to prove that there were multiple gunshots, but okay, it came from the same gun. Fine, granted. Cool. Cool story, bro. But whose gun did it come from? Have no proof. When you locked up the six defendants, none of them had a gun. And of course, when you brought in Mr. Brown, he's not going to have a gun on him. Why didn't he have a gun on him? Is it possible because he ran out the mall and ran a Chick-fil-A and dumped it? Hey, that's just speculation. I don't know. We'll get to that later. So, but then going on and on and on and on, still nothing. And so then, you know, again, let me go back real quick. The defense, another loophole. Video footage from Chick-fil-A. Who modified it? The word modified was a really strong topic, really strong key point. He didn't contact the IT person. You don't know if Mr. Moore, excuse me, Detective Moore got it that night or not. The story's not adding up, man. You guys really, 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 really look unorganized. I really don't see you guys really trying to put these boys away. You might have done it for show. Hopefully not. But, you know, but you guys really did a poor job trying to prove this. You had nothing. You guys had nothing. And I hate that. And I really truly hate that. Because you guys should have came, I feel, more prepared than what you did. Just my opinion again. You know, back to Officer Dixon, you know, telling his side, all that good stuff, you know, which still, dude, he playing with words on evidence, video evidence, circumstantial, you know, all the evidence, still was no concrete evidence to make 12 people say, hey, six people are going to jail for 45 years when you have no proof. That's tough to do. That's very tough to do. They tried it. Yeah, the E for effort. It's about it for me. And again, this is no knock to any of them. I salute you guys for doing your job. I applaud you for doing your job. But I just feel like you might can work a little harder and actually trying to prove it or not even waste the state, all the defendants' money. You know, the lawyers loved it, of course, because they got paid. But, you know, you wasted people's time on the jury who didn't get paid, like myself, mind you. That's another topic for another day. But, you know, it's just listening to Officer Dixon, excuse me, Lieutenant Dixon. It's just he never had anything to prove it. Everything was just going off the video. And again, he had no proof. But moving on from Officer Dixon, they brought in, like I said, the sled. And like I said, she didn't prove anything, but the guns were fired from the bullets. Excuse me, the shell case came from one gun. Excuse me, messing all up. After that, they brought in a young lady from Belk's who was in the men's department, heard gunshots. Don't know why she was called from wherever she was called from. They wasted her time. Only thing she said was she took the people into the office. That's it. And she walks in that way. Of course, they coach her to saying she walks in away from Honey Baked Ham on her time because she works up there. She worked at the little booth up front, of course. Is she going to notice a little hole in the wall on the bottom and walking in the Belk's? No. But, of course, they made her, you know, try to seem like she would recognize it. And defense ate that up. Then they called in a fella from Saluda who was had the famous Facebook video that went around. But that was blurred out and wasted his time because all he did, he said he still didn't recognize anyone in the courtroom. And he was focused on his daughter, which any father would with a 1-2-year-old in her lap. And he ran into the stock room of Claire's. So, again, there's nothing that put a solid, solid stamp on who fired a gun. Only thing you saw was what was believed to be bullet holes, which, again, could have been blanks. Who knows? We don't know. At the end of the day, we don't know. Everything's mere, going back to this word, speculation. And you wanted the jury to make assumptions. I don't like to assume in the real world of my life. What makes you think I want to assume playing with six other people's lives? I'm not assuming. I'm not speculating with six other people's lives, man. I couldn't do it. Can't do it. Again, I'm only speaking for Dominique. I'm not speaking for nobody else. Only speaking for Dominique. Only speaking for Dominique. Take a real quick short break. I'm going to come back on my final thoughts and closing. And again, stick around. I'll be right back. And I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. One thing I do want to say, I appreciate the time you're taking to listen. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Just want to get that out the way early. Gonna start shutting it down, winding on down, and my thank yous. I thank you again for taking the time to listen. If you have got this far, I really appreciate you taking the time and listening from my point of view. And you could be doing anything else, but you're taking your time out to listen to this. But back to the case. I'm just gonna, you know, basically just give you my summary of the case. If you haven't picked it up, you know, throughout this podcast, the state had nothing on these boys. You know, they wanted you to speculate and play with six people's lives, man. And it's going to affect definitely more than six because they have families. They have mothers. They have fathers. And you really, really, truly can't play with people's lives off merely speculation, assumptions. We have no proof of anything. You couldn't provide us no solid proof, no hard evidence. Why wasn't your the quote-unquote victim there to testify? Why wasn't he there to testify? You're the police. You have all the tools to find someone. All the tools to find someone. You really, really fumbled on this one, guys. I really feel like that. You fumbled on this one. Really, truly fumbled on this one. Really fumbled. Really fumbled. But I will say, I am ecstatic that these six young men are free to live their lives, to go on and hopefully live, you know, full lives, prosperous, not put themselves ever in this situation again, man. Stay out of trouble. Do everything by the book. Wear your seatbelt. Use your turn signals because you know they're coming after you for the littlest thing. I probably will have to do the same thing too because I'm pretty sure people aren't going to like what I say in this podcast if it reaches them. But again, it's strictly my opinion. I mean no harm. This is just my thoughts. Just my thoughts. Just, that's all. Strictly my thoughts. Nothing more, nothing less. Just my thoughts. But yeah, fellas, you dodged a really, 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 really big bullet with this one. Please stay out of trouble. Please stay out of trouble. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. But one thing I want to speak on briefly, to all the defendants, to all of, you know, the people who could be in this situation or late in this situation or, you know, in the streets, living their life, you know, whatever the case may be. I hinted on something earlier. I'm going to harken back to it. Only people that will be in that courtroom are your mother, your father, your immediate close family, maybe a girlfriend. I paid attention to who was in that in the stands, in the pews in the back. Again, out of the everyone's situation, I can't speak on everybody. I don't know. I saw only one homeboy the entire trial. Let me say that again. I saw one homeboy the entire trial. I seen mothers, seen fathers, Not for all of them. Again, I'm active on Facebook. I sit back and watch. I seen everybody speaking up. I got a chain letter. Go to the courthouse, support the Greenwood Six, blah, 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 XYZ, da, 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 da. Nobody showed up for them boys, man. Nobody showed up for them boys. And then I get on Facebook the day they were released, right? The day the charges were dropped. Everybody talking. Everybody got something to say. But no one was there in that courtroom with them boys. No one. No one. Let me repeat myself. No one was in the courtroom with those boys but the immediate family. East side, south side, west side, north side, 96, McCormick, Saluda, Asheville, Abbeville, Hollywood, Orlando, Texas, Houston, whatever. Nobody was in that courtroom. Homeboys, whatever. None of that. None of that was there. But as soon as they were set free, everybody had something to say. Everybody was showing love. Everybody was liking and commenting, posting and sharing. But you weren't there when it counted. When they look back, that courtroom was empty. Nothing but, again, immediate family, the ones that love you, the ones, I don't know this for sure, that put money up possibly for you. If you don't put your own money up for the Lord, whatever the case was, bond, whatever. Nobody was there for you. That should have been a lesson. That should have been a lesson. Understand that. I was in that courtroom. I saw who was there. I was there firsthand, not word of mouth, not speculation, not assumption. I saw. I was there. All those Facebook warriors were not there to support them. Just resharing, just to get likes, just to be seen on social media. That's not cool. That right there is a lesson for you. Lesson to anybody in these streets. They're not loyal. They're not there for you. They're only there when it's beneficial. When it benefits them at that, not you. We need to learn it as a people, man. We need to come together. I don't care where you're from, what side, what color, all of that, man. We've gotten away from that. We'd rather see each other down. We'd rather see each other on a t-shirt. We'd rather see each other rest in peace, blah, 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 blah. Post up text threads, post up messages when they're dead. Tell them why they're here. Tell them before they get locked up behind that wall. Man, get out the streets. Leave it alone. Let that go. We need to do better as a community, people. I know I'm all over the place, but it's just my thoughts. Just my thoughts. We need to do better as a people. We are killing ourselves, making it harder and harder on ourselves. I'm sure people won't even listen to this point of the podcast. But this is probably the most important, I feel. We need to work together. We need to show the youth positivity, not negativity, man. All these senseless shootings and all that we had this year in Greenwood, for what? For what? People locked up dead or in jail, for what? I'll wait for the answer. Let me know when you find out. But in closing, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen, hearing what I have to say, and listening to my opinion, my outlook, my thoughts on this particular case, the quote-unquote Greenwood Six, because this could have been ugly. This could have been very, very ugly. Fellas, if you ever hear this, keep your head up, stay positive. Don't feed into the BS out here. Because any little wrong you do, they're going to try to crucify you. They struck out once. I don't think they'll strike out again. Especially the way we made them look like a fool. Stumbo's not happy. His little assistant Dubois not happy. They're definitely not happy. Again, this is just my thoughts. I appreciate the time. Thank you.